welcome to the Life Day Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Holm, and today we're taking a look at the Book of Boba Fett, Chapter 4, The Gathering Storm. So, first things first, I'm home. So join me as I do some washing up before I go pick up my daughter from school. So, in this episode, the blurb for it basically says, Boba Fett... And it's true, he does. And when I first read that, I was like, what does that mean? Because he's already partnered with her in the present day. And then it clicked. It took a moment for it to click. Okay, I'm not feeling well. Okay, I've got a bit of a cold coming on. So my head wasn't exactly in the game when I read that. So, yes, I have another... freaking cold. You can tell I knew I was going to be catch something this week because I'm off work. I got the whole week off, so obviously that's the time for my body to go, hey, time to be sick. So yeah, anyway, so I'm like, yeah, why is he teaming up with her? Of course he's teaming up with her, because this is the episode we find out about the whole, like, everything that kind of happens in the background after chapter 5 of The Mandalorian, and leading up to, I'm gonna say, the end of the episode called The Marshal, so the first episode of season 2. So predominantly it's about half and half again, a flashback and present day. This time it's told flashback to present day, so flashback came first. So we have Boba in the back to tank having his memories of his time post Tusken funeral, and after the Pikes, after he's basically been told by the Pikes that, you know, they ain't gonna pay him. And I think essentially what we've got here is the 5-year, or at least a considerable amount of time, jumped. Okay, he's... I say that solely because at the end of the last episode... last episode, after he's been with the Tuskens, you kind of... it doesn't feel like he's with them for years. It feels like he's with them at least months. It may be a year. So let's say by the end of his Tusken... his time with them, he's got 4 years until Mando. I think that's a safe bet. Of course, they can get away with it, anything on this, with the timing, because we don't actually have an official timeline. I know Jon Favreau said it was set like 7 years after the Battle of Yavin, so, or is it 5 years after? From what I remember, Mandalorian is meant to be set 5 years after Return of the Jedi. You could whittle that down here and there, however you like. I think it's safe to... it's a nice round number, you know, to kind of go with. So I'm going to stick with 5 years. So I think Bob has been with them... he's been out on his own probably for 4 years. Let's give him that. Because we don't know how long he was in the Sarlacc for. We don't know exactly how long he was with the Tuskens for. So there's a lot of unknown. But let's go with 4 years. So he's been out in the desert for 4 years with his Bantha. Obviously taking good care of her. It looks like he keeps popping back to... Jabba's palace and has a look at the security at the, I'm guessing the hangar gate. So he keeps having a look there, and it's too many guards, so he never goes for it. Which is fair enough. Follow that up with him one night over a campfire feeding his Ronto some sort of bird. Not his Ronto, his Bantha, some sort of bird. Didn't know Banthas were meat eaters, but hey. Guess when you're in the desert, you'll eat anything. and he sees the lights, the flares from Chapter 5 of Mandalorian. So there was me kind of going, oh, we're going to see kind of a flash of Toro Calican. Are we going to see that guy? We don't, thankfully. So he comes across Fennec. He chucks her onto the back of the Bantha and takes her to Mos Eisley, where he takes her to the mod. I'm going to call it the mod squad, the mod shop. And he's like, yeah, she's dying. You need to sort her out. And initially, the guy doing the mods wasn't too helpful, but then he gives him some money and says, she's about to die, so you want to get on with this. And the mod's like, yeah, cool. We got this. And he puts her back together, essentially, saving her life. And then, for some reason, Boba takes her back to the place she got shot. Now, I guess that's so that she can wake up in vaguely familiar surroundings. I don't know. I don't get that. And she's like, what have you done to me? And he's like, well, you know, you were going to die, so I did what I could. So I took you to this modification place, and they sorted you out. It's like, okay, there we go. And he basically says, right, look, I need someone's help to get me my fire spray ship back. I know that's gonna piss off some dude bros. Oh, it's not calling it Slave One. What the hell does it matter? Okay, it's a ship. It's Boba Fett's ship. They haven't changed the ship. They haven't even changed the name. He's just not saying the name. But, so yeah, he's like, I want to get my fire spray back. And I want your help. And she's like, all right, I do this for you. My debt is paid. He's like, yeah, sure. So they recon the palace with... So Fennec's blaster, that's a handy piece of kit. Got a knife in the shoulder bit that you rest your shoulder in. It also opens up and it's got all sorts of bounty hunting assassin gizmos and gadgets that, you know, pretty handy. So she's got a little recon droid, and the recon droid goes through the palace and gives them a map, and they figure out a plan. So they break in via a sewer entrance, it looks like. Make their way, find themselves in the kitchen, disable the two chef droids. I was triggered by that, by the way, being a chef. And then an LEP droid comes waddling in, which is supposed to be a rat catcher. Holy crap, we've got an LEP droid in live action. Didn't think that was ever going to happen. But it did. And that thing was so damn cute. After a bit of a chase around the kitchen trying to catch this droid, they finally finish the mission, get to the hangar bay. They come under fire after taking out a couple of Gamorreans. But Boba gets onto the ship, trying to maneuver the ship so it can get out. Fennec is taking on all of the guards that come rushing at them. They finally get the door open, and set off out onto the skies of Tatooine. So yeah, that's cool. That was really cool. And then Bob was like, right, where do you want dropping off? Your debt's paid. And all the while that they've been talking, he's like talking about how he doesn't want to be a bounty hunter anymore. He's done nearly dying for people. Instead, he's decided that he's going to become a crime lord. He's going to take over one of the houses and hopefully try and do things better. And he says some of the right things, and you can see that she's not sure at first. But by the time they've got the ship, I think she's come around to his idea, and says that she'll come along for the ride. And you know, after that, it's we get kind of a quick flash of the post-credit scene from Mandalorian, where Fett shoots Bib Fortuna, and they sit on the throne. Then he wakes up, and we hear a droid say, congratulations, Master Fett, you are fully healed. Oh, of course, so, they take the ship and to go get his armor. That was it. That was the next bit. So he takes his ship to go get the armor, and they go to the Sarlacc, and he basically flies the cockpit. So it's just at the hole, like the entrance of the pit. And he's looking, and he can't see anything. And then suddenly the beak like comes slamming into the ship. So he's like, right, let's, like the Sarlacc's trying to eat Slave One, which was like, almost, it was nightmare fuel, that. That was full on nightmare fuel, was not like enjoying that so much. And it's like, right, he can't shoot it because it's his blaster bolts are being like dampened by the sand. Best thing he can do, Fett's just struggling. So Fennec like looks up, sees a little switch, unhooks the harness. It's basically the Sarlacc is trying to eat her through the windscreen. That was just gross. And then she flicks a switch, and I'm like, no. And she totally does. She flicks a switch, and it only unleashes a seismic charge that rolls down into the Sarlacc pit. The Sarlacc gets it in its mouth and then explodes. Freaking kills the Sarlacc with a seismic charge. That's insane. Which also leads me to wonder if this is the dead Sarlacc that the Krayt Dragon took over its cave. Just wondering, because the Sarlacc is now dead. And they do say that it's living in the belly of a Sarlacc cave. And it can't, you know, and it's eaten the Sarlacc. So maybe, just wondering. So then we, you know, Fett goes into the Sarlacc again. No armor this time, to look for his armor. Comes out, and Fennec's like, you're burning. You need a Bacta tank. And he's like, yeah, no, couldn't find the armor. So it's like, right, kind of screwed, kind of, you know, sick. So now we know why he's so injured and why he kind of needed extended treatment. Because also, you know, think about it, he's been living in the desert for 5 years, pretty much unmasked. He's just been into the belly of a Sarlacc, not once but twice. The first time, kind of protected by his armor. The second time, no armor at all. And, you know, he's been in a few fights. So, you know, he's back. He's basically back to full strength. And he says, right, let's go. And the Majordomo's basically saying, yeah, he's working with the pikes. We can't find the pike. We can't find the mayor. So the mods. I find it hilarious that they're calling them the mods because of like the. I mean, I get the reference. It's all about the. They're calling them mods because of the bikes, but also because of their body modifications. So it works in both ways. They're looking for the mayor and Mos Espa, and basically they'll let him know when they find him. So Fett says, look, we need to go make sure that, you know, I've got to show my face around the town. So they go into Mos Espa and come across Black Kassantan in the sanctuary. Basically staring down a whole gang of Trandoshans that are winning some sort of gambling game. And Kassantan basically goes a bit nuts, and fights all of these Trandoshans, and he's about to dismember one, and Garza Fwip comes out and is like, you don't want to do this. Think about it. When you were a gladiator, everyone loved you, and you did this and this, and you were like the master, the trophies, the adoration that you got. And now people look at that and it's blood sport and they think it's gross and horrific. So you don't really want to do that. And by the way, you've run up quite a bit of a bar tab. So how about you let this guy go? I will forget your tab and everything will be hunky-dory. So Kassantan goes, looks about it, looks, thinks about it, rips off one of the Trandoshan's arms, drops the drone ocean, pays his bar tab, and all the while Fett's watching this, and Garza looks over at Fett. Fett looks at him and goes, nice try. She's like, yeah, well. And then she name drops Max Rebo. It's like, take it away, Max. And Max Rebo starts at the band again. Outside, Fett talks to Black Chrysanthemum and basically says, you look like you need a job. Oh, I didn't see that one coming from a mile away. And so then we cut to the scene that was in all the trailers, the big sit down at the table with all of Jabba's old lackeys, basically trying to get a deal, them to all kind of agree to work together, or at least Bobba's request is, I want you all to remain neutral if the Pikes come to you, and we'll all, you know, reap the spoils of Mos Espa at the end of it. In the midst of the big sit-down meal, they're like, oh, why don't we kill you, says the Barada. Is it Barada? No, the Klatoonian. Is it Klatu? Or is it Baradan? The dog face guys. He's like, why shouldn't we just kill you and, you know, be done with it? And then suddenly the Rancor bursts, like, gets its claws through the grate. He's like, rawr! And Bob says, oh, he's hungry. And everyone kind of like, okay, he's got a thing. He's got a Rancor now, so we're gonna play ball. So when they all leave, Fennec and him are in the penthouse in the tower, and she's like, do you really trust them? He's like, I trust that they're all gonna work in their own self-interests. What we need is muscle. And she's like, how much money have we got? And he's like, I have credits. And she's like, because we can buy muscle. You can buy muscle if you know where to look. And then you just hear, just in the background, the Mandalorian theme tune. Oh, I'm not going to lie. I may have sat bolt upright at that moment watching that. Just be like, oh. I was like, yes, it is happening. Ladies and gentlemen, the rumours may be true. Din Djarin could very well be making an appearance in the Book of Boba Fett. Oh, I am so excited for this. Which also, like, okay, I know I'm getting ahead of myself and I might be getting a little too excited, but follow me on this one. At the end of the Book of Boba Fett, after whatever goes down, what if Mando and Black Chrysanthemum team up? What if? Kind of having a fangasm in my head just at the notion of that, because that would be pretty cool. I'm kind of hoping that Mando's only in it for an episode, maybe two, but leaves before the last episode. I kind of don't want this, because I kind of feel like with him arriving, suddenly a lot of attention will be drawn away from Boba Fett. This is Boba Fett's story, this is Boba Fett's series. I don't really want this to become, and I know this is meant to be Mandalorian 2.5, okay, that's what Jon Favreau has said about it. But what I kind of don't want is, I don't want to have my attention, because I love Mando. Mando for me is like top level, like the highest of the highest levels of characters for Star Wars. Boba Fett, whilst amazingly played by Tamara Morrison, whilst having this amazing series, having an amazing kind of reintroduction, he's still not that level for me. So I'm kind of going to be more, my kind of attention, I feel, is going to be more driven towards Mando as he's playing a part in Boba Fett's story, as opposed to how it was in Mandalorian Season 2, where I was still 100% focused on Mando because of his story, but Boba Fett was there. So I don't really want Fett to get overshadowed by Mando too much. So I'm kind of this part, this like, it's almost reluctant, and almost a reluctant feeling that how I want this to play out. I'm reluctant to have Mando in it for too long, because I just think that could kind of ruin the series for me, in a way. Granted, Mando would be an amazing person to have in this war that is obviously coming between the Pikes and Fett. I kind of feel he will be around for the next only three episodes left, jeez. For the next three episodes. But I just hope that Fett doesn't get overshadowed, and I really think it's a possibility. Speaking of Mandalorian, the whole backstory of Fennec Shand and Boba Fett, we were waiting for this, and it paid off. I kind of feel we needed the last episode to introduce the mods to get the whole Fennec Shand being fixed up. That, I think it was well played. And this is the problem with people critiquing television, or just a series. Is it redundant to call it television when it's a streaming series? Anyway, this is also the problem with it being streamed weekly, because when you're binging it, you can go, "Oh, what the hell's going on with this?" You know, chuffing motorbikes and people modifying themselves in Star Wars. Oh, it's not right. It's not right. And then the next episode, that whole thing pays off. You know, we've waited a week for that. So people are bitching and moaning for a whole week about the Vespers in space and the fact that they've got these, you know, modifications and all this stuff. But then that whole storyline pays off in this episode, because it's not only is it there to kind of give Boba a group of people that will work with him, it also gives us a story. It gives us this backstory of Fennec. Because if we hadn't seen them, this whole body modification thing that he takes her to would feel really not right. It would be like, well, that's just come out of nowhere. Actually, no, it hasn't. So I kind of feel like it was deliberately done. The way that was set out was deliberately done. And I feel like it's paid off. Now, I didn't mind the body mods. I don't mind the Vespers. I think they're too clean. I wanted them dirtied and scuffed up a bit. But at the same time, you know, the people that these guys were based on, kind of the mods of the 60s and 70s, they took great care. They made sure that their gear was all nice and shiny and clean. So, at the end of the day, it feels right. But at the same time, it didn't click with me as much as like other things have. I'm not saying I didn't like them. It just took a bit of getting used to seeing something so clean in Star Wars on Tatooine. But that whole thing has paid off for me. I like seeing the build-up of their dynamic. You know, this isn't Boba and Fennec in present day kind of taking over Jabba's stuff. This is Boba and Fennec at the beginning. Okay? By the time, even at Tython, she's still not 100% with him. She's there because she owes him. Now, granted, she has then said that her debt is paid, but, you know, is she in service to him, or are they working together? I think she still feels like she's in service to him, and she goes along with him because he's promised her a cut of the spoils. And this is what, you know, this whole thing, he's like, right, we're going to look after it. We're going to get my armor. Okay, we're going to have to make a deal to get my armor. This is a deal. We protect him and the child. Okay, so, you know, that whole storyline expanded because the child was taken. So, basically, it diverted their attention. She's giving him these side eyes all the way through those last three episodes of Mandalorian. Because she's waiting for them to get back to Tatooine to do this thing that they have been talking about. That explains, and I'm like, oh my god, you've given me so much in this episode. This episode of the backstory of Fennec and Boba has given us so much clarity on their relationship. Like, back then, she was giving him side eyes because she wanted to get back to Tatooine to get this job and get this money. She wanted him to take over. So she essentially, she's running the show as well. You know, he even says it. He's the figure. Essentially, what he says to her is, I need brains and muscle. You are both. He's a figurehead. He is the guy sitting on the throne because of the name. Fennec Shand is a known name, but Boba Fett has got more reputation. That's why he's sitting on the throne, but she is still his co-leader. And I think that's firmly established in this episode because of what he says. She is the brains and the muscle. And, you know, he doesn't have to say it, but he is the figurehead because he needs his armor. Because without his armor, he's not as imposing. Oh, fucking storytelling at its greatest. I'm sorry I did a swear. Oh, man. The meeting went down exactly as I kind of thought it would. As the trailers pretty much gave us the whole meeting with the exception of the Rancor coming through. You know, I love Fennec's kind of introduction to Boba. I mean, of course, it was longer. It was more elaborate. But getting kind of like, you know, this is Boba Fett. He's like, I'm not trying to take over your territories. I don't want your territories. He's like, why should you be daimyo? Because I'm going to rule with respect. Because I'm going to cut you guys in. You guys are not going to lose out on anything. All I'm asking of you, I'm not asking you to be with my team. I'm not asking you to be my lackeys, to be my enforcers. I'm asking you to be neutral. Because when the shit goes down, I've already sworn, I'm going for it. Because when shit goes down, I'm going to deal with the shit. But I don't want you guys getting in, joining up with them to give me more shit. Because once I've dealt with them, I'm going to prove that I am the daimyo here. And I was like, right, okay, nailed it. Absolutely fantastic. So there we go. There we go. Guys, this was a great episode. Absolutely fantastic. Absolutely loved it. I mean, okay. Because people are going to be doing the rankings. I'm going to do my ranking here. In order from favourite to least favourite episodes. And this does not... If the episode's at the bottom of the list, doesn't mean I don't like it. It just means in terms of what we got. It basically is like my least favourite. But I've loved every episode that we've had. And it's going to be 2, 4, 3, 1. And I've got a feeling that the next 3 episodes, now that we're out of flashback territory as well, this is all... I can only imagine, I can only assume, because they've said he doesn't need to go in the back to tank. The only time they say he's fully healed. So if he goes back in the back to tank... It's essentially going to be because he's been injured now. What backstory do we now need? Part of me would be interested in seeing what happens between... What happens in terms of Mando, Boba and Fennec and the split up when they parted ways. I'm interested in seeing that. I'm interested in what happened there. But that's a scene. That's not like... And essentially it's going to be, yeah, we got the kid and then he got taken by a Jedi, which is what I wanted in the first place, so that he can learn the ways of the Force to be safe. You know, essentially, you know, Boba and Fennec have lived up to their end of the deal. The child is safe. The child has been returned to Din Djarin and he has chosen its path. So their deal is done. But, you know, I think it would be nice and kind of cool to see them have like one more kind of conversation to kind of detail kind of the aftermath of season 2 of Mando. But you know, I don't feel like it's a necessity whatsoever. So yeah, I think I can't really go into any more. I think I've waxed lyrical about it, pretty much. So I'm gonna put a pin in it now. I'm gonna head on off until next week for chapter 5. I mean, this was a good long episode as well. It was 50 minutes, just under 50 minutes, including credits. So, we'll say 45. So, a 45 minute decent run. It did not feel that long. It was kind of shocking to me when the episode ended because I didn't feel like I'd spent 45 minutes watching it. I felt I'd only watched about 20 minutes, but that's just because of how good it was and just how quick it was. The director, I can't remember the director's name, but he was new to the show, new to Star Wars. But Dean Cundey was back as director of photography, and it looked absolutely gorgeous yet again. So yeah, there we go. Right, I'm gonna go because I'm starting to feel a little breathless, damn cold. So yeah, I'm gonna head on off now. But thank you for listening. If you enjoy what you hear, enjoy what you read over at the MyStarWarsLifeDebt.com, then please head on over to patreon.com/MyStarWarsLifeDebt if you would like to contribute to the upkeep of the blog and podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at LifeDebtJohnny. Find the blog page on Facebook, facebook.com/LifeDebtBlogPod. And we've got merch over at teespring.com/user/the Life Debt Merch Cantina or thelifedebtmerchcantina.spring.com. Whichever one you feel right on using, go for it. And I think that's it. Oh, and email me, please. Send us emails at lifedebtpodcast@outlook.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's hear some thoughts on the Book of Boba Fett and where we think it's going to go next week. I'm interested in seeing what people think it's going to go. Anyway, I'm going to go now, finish this washing up. So thank you again for listening, and punch it chewy. Or punch some Trandoshans, Black Kersantan.